Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On today's Covenant Journey Podcast, we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 13. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. Romans chapter 13, in fact, the seven verses of that chapter, literally have been misused so many times over the last 2,000 years. Let me just read some of the words of this particular chapter. Let every soul or every person be in subjection to the higher authorities, for there is no other authority except from God, and those who exist are ordained by God. Therefore, he who resists the authority withstands the ordinance of God, and those who withstand will receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Do you desire to have no fear of the authority? Do that which is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he, the authority, is a servant of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he doesn't bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger for wrath to him who does evil. Therefore, you need to be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this reason, you also pay taxes, for they are servants of God's service, attending continually on this very thing. Give, therefore, to everyone what you owe, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor. Those are the seven verses of Romans chapter 13. Let me combine that with 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. This is in a similar vein. It says, Beloved, in verse 11, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And here's the section similar to Romans. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be for the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. That's the section from 1 Peter. Those two passages, Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, have been used during, for example, the coronavirus pandemic. And I have seen those passages come up more and more, where people say, well, churches should not meet. You just need to be subject to the governing authorities. That you should just simply go quietly, and if the government says you need to go online, even though you may not have online capabilities, that every church, all 500,000 churches, and I'm talking about churches that are Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox, that doesn't even include other houses of worship, 500,000 in this country, that they all ought to just simply fall in line. No matter what the Constitution of the United States says, no matter what our inalienable rights say, that we have a right to worship God, we have this pushback by some people that say, Romans 13, you just need to be quiet. You need to go and do what the government says. Is that the question that I want to ask? A proper reading of Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, let me just refer you to or remind you how Romans 13 has been abused throughout history. The classic abuse of Romans 13 is during Nazi Germany. In July 1933, during Hitler's first summer in power, a young German pastor named Joachim Hassenfelder preached a sermon in the towering Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church, Berlin's most important church. He used the words of Romans 13 to remind the worshipers of the importance of obedience to those in authority. The church was festooned with Nazi banners and stormtrooper flags, its pews packed with the Nazi Party faithful, including men in the brown shirts and also the Nazi parliamentary, which was the Nazi sign of the Nazi parliamentary movement. And this is probably one of the most explicit examples in which the German Protestant Church invoked Romans 13, indeed following an attempt to assassinate Hitler. A plotter blamed Romans 13 as a reason why there was not more resistance to the Führer within the Third Reich. You remember there was a movie called The Valkyrie. It was about Valkyrie attempt. And what was that about? It was about even Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous theologian who was part of the Confessing Church that was in opposition to the German Lutheran Church, which simply went along with Nazism. And he was one of those people that ultimately came to the point where he felt that he needed to plot against Hitler. He was part of the Valkyrie attempt. That was the attempt to actually assassinate Adolf Hitler, who had committed so many atrocious acts against not only the Jewish people, but also others as well. As we all well know, unfortunately, the church, including the Catholic Church, the Pope, they were all silent, by and large, not everyone, but by and large were silent during that time. And the Protestant churches cited Romans 13. You just need to obey the Nazi regime because that was established by God. That's what they said, and that was used to beat Christians into submission and silence during the horrors of the Holocaust. So the question is, what is the application of Romans 13? Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 really are saying the same thing. In the context, what it's talking about is a witness as Christians to the other outside world. 1 Peter 2 talks about the witness to the Gentiles, how that your personal conduct ought to be of a high level. Romans 13 is not telling Christians that when the government moves away from punishing the evildoer and protecting the good into the realm of a jurisdiction over which it has no authority, i.e. the church, that Christians need to be silent. That's how it was absolutely abused during the Nazi regime, and that's how it oftentimes is abused throughout history. When the government crosses that line to dictate the manner and form and doctrine of churches, whether your worship needs to be online or in a parking lot or only 10 people or 5 people or no people inside, that is a jurisdiction that is not under the civic government. And that is a jurisdiction where the line is also drawn by the First Amendment to the United States Constitution and every constitution of the 50 states in this country. It is time, my friends, to be able to understand the difference. The government doesn't have jurisdiction over the Church of Jesus Christ. And remember this, Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. The church is essential, always has been essential. I encourage you to pray for the church, to be a part of the church, to make the community of believers in your community in which you live so essential that when the lights are turned off and the doors of the church are closed, that the community groans in its absence. It is through the body of believers, the church, individuals, not buildings necessarily, I'm talking about the body of believers, through which Jesus Christ and the good news is preached around the world. Go out and do likewise. Engage in the Great Commission. Do not be intimidated. Do not be afraid. Do not be confused. The gates of hell will not prevail against the Church of Jesus Christ. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org. That's covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.